Let's set the intent. We are the Church Triumphant Global. We are believers and not doubters. We've come to receive revelation and insight, wisdom and understanding from God's holy word. We fully expect the Holy Spirit to bear witness with our spirit concerning the revelation of the word and how to apply it in our lives. This rhema word from God will take root in us. It will grow up and bear much fruit. This word transforms, empowers, and enriches us. We take dominion on the earth. We summon kings and queens to come from near and far. Multiplied souls are saved, transformed, and planted here. We are 1,000 times as many as we are. We will never be the same. Never, ever, ever. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. And you'll never fail me. That's one thing you'll never do. You'll never do. Oh, you specialize in impossible things. Lord, I believe in you. We are excited about what the Spirit of God is doing right now. Let's go to the Word.
Please turn to Joshua chapter 1, verse 1.
Joshua 1 and 1.
Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying.
But now, whenever God is preparing you for the next era in your life, I say that word because you never want to spend a long time just praying for a season. A season is 3 months. And a lot of times, people spend years asking God to bring them into a prosperous season. And then when it only lasts for 3 months, then they wonder what happened to the blessing. And an era, E-R-A, will last as long as your faith can sustain it. When you enter into your blessed place, it will take more faith to maintain it than it does just to get there. When the enemy sees that you have conquered some things that your ancestors were not able to conquer, it will make him shake in his boots. There's some things that I learned as I grew up in the church. Because in that era, we were only getting ready for the rapture. I got saved. We were looking for the rapture every week. As a matter of fact, they would preach so hard on the rapture on Sunday mornings and Sunday night that every Monday morning I woke up, I was disappointed because I was still here. Is there anybody that know what I'm talking about? But the assignment of the church is not just to save us so that we can be raptured. The assignment of the church is to dominate earth, to subdue it, to conquer it. My assignment is to take the rawness of my gifts and reproduce God in the earth. So when God spoke unto Joshua, he made it clear that you carry the baton. A lot of us, we may not know what it means to carry the baton. If you've seen track runners, what would happen is that they would put someone out that could get through the first relay. And the objective of the first one was to gain enough time on the other runners so that when he passes the baton, he would be ahead of those who were opposing him. Passing the baton, it means that I recognize that I am responsible to take my life and get ahead for the next generation. I am one who summons and prays for the rapture, but at the same time, I recognize that I must prepare those who would come after me. So we said that if you're going to fulfill the plan of God in your life, you must start with a master strategy. Just spending all your time in prayer and not asking God how to outwit the devil. Now, see, this is next level because a lot of us, when we intercede, all we do is, now that's good. But after you summon the power of God in your prayer life, after you see that God is on the scene, after God begins to reveal his power to you as you intercede, the next question is, what is my strategy? See, because Satan works through strategy. He's playing the long game. while we're playing the short game. He already is working on what he's going to send after your grandkids. While he sends us these day-to-day issues, so we keep putting out, you know, these small fires while he's working on something else. Every time my wife and I have a heated discussion, my mind starts thinking, what is it that the devil is trying to steal? Because every time there is any kind of discord in your life, it will sit as a distraction. And if you could just stop right in the middle of the discussion and say, hold on. Let's get real quiet in the presence of God. See, because the enemy hates you getting quiet in the presence of God so you can hear. He wants you shouting. He likes loudness. My grandmother used to say, an empty wagon makes a lot of noise. But if I'm going to be a master strategist, I've got to put his word first. I've got to give his word the priority. I've got to give my time in prayer and worship and fasting and seeking God the preeminent so that I'm prepared for the wiles of the devil. As a matter of fact, in my prayer time, the Spirit of God has began to give me strategy so that I'm on the offense. The prophetic anointing in prayer, it can reveal where the devil is going. That's why Jezebel hated Elijah, because Elijah was able to see and hear into camps where he wasn't even there. So Joshua was given the assignment to carry the baton of faith to conquer earth. I know that we've heard this, but God started Genesis with a challenge. Genesis 1:1. We see in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, understanding that God created it without any imperfections. Earth was created as a replica of heaven. Earth was created as a replica of heaven. So God started civilization on the continent of Africa. He went there and he put every mineral, every gem, every plant, everything that was necessary for our sustenance, he placed it in the earth. Now, before we get to verse 2, we see that the earth was without form and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep. In the Hebrew, it says that the earth became without form. It became void. It became a chaotic soup. And the only reason why it became that way was because Lucifer himself in heaven began to think that he would exalt himself against the knowledge of God. He says, I will be like the Most High. I'm going to set up my throne in the congregation. I'm going to set up my throne in the congregation. I'm going to be on the sides of the north. I'm going to rule earth. And God threw him down. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. And then you'll see where in verse 3, God did not even mention Lucifer, but began to recreate. And the message there is that we don't even really need to call his name. We see that God created mankind as the answer to subduing the devil. So you are the answer to God's problem of who will rule earth. So from the beginning of Genesis, you see that the fight is over earth. The fight is over the man, the mind, or the soul of mankind. The fight is over dominion. Who will rule? But the church is preoccupied with small problems. I need a 12-cent raise, God. See, we're looking at something that will not even change our lives. And God is saying, listen, I have given you earth. When God made the covenant with Abraham, he said, listen, Abraham, you and your seed are heirs of the earth. So when you look at Joshua, he's only carrying a baton that that should have been carried by Adam. Says, Moses, my servant, is dead, meaning the closing of an era. Now, get up and go. Now, we've prayed long enough. Get up and go. You've striven inside your head long enough. Get up and go. You've dealt with insignificant issues long enough. Now get up and go. You tried to save somebody that you didn't die for. Now get up. And a lot of us spend all of our lives with the same problems. The same things. The same people. And God is saying, get up and go. Change your position. The earth is yours. When he said here, and he said here, he says, go over your Jordan. Go over your hindrance. Just go over it. You don't need to pray in tongues all day. Just go over it. Pray in tongues half the day. And the next part of the day, get up and use your body and go over it. You and all these people, see, because Joshua had been given the mantle, so the people looked to him for leadership. And in the church, right now, we need leadership. We need somebody who's going to stop saying, let somebody else do it. We need leadership. The leader, the mantle of leadership was in Joshua's hand. And when you have the mantle of leadership, then the next thing you got to do is work on your faith. Work on yourself in such a degree that you... That when they call you, you should be open to listen to their problems. If God leads you to. But you shouldn't be always the one with the problem. It says, you go, you and all these people, unto the land. Now, land is unlimited potential. It symbolizes unlimited potential. All of us in here, whether we realize it or not, have unlimited potential. Everything that you dreamed when you were 5 years old is possible. I just want you to see that your spirit has no age. And what happens to people after a certain physical age, they shut their dreaming off. Well, you know, I just, you know, I was believing for that when I was younger, but now I'm just going to pass the dream to somebody else. Maybe somebody else can do it because I'm tired. You know, Tamla, a man said, the truth is she's tired. And she made millions of dollars because so many people were tired. And the reason why they're tired is because of the tug of war over dominion. But dominion does not come without image and likeness. So it means that my mind must be renewed so that I hold the image of the Christ. Holding the image of the Christ is the biggest fight you'll ever have. Because if you ever get the image of the Christ in your consciousness, the devil has no hope. He can do nothing with you if you can hold the image of the Christ. Not the crucified Christ, but the resurrected Christ. When God raised Jesus from the dead, all of us got up. We don't have to wait on the rapture for that great getting up morning. You can get up right now inside the annals of your mind, inside the annals of your soul, every place where you've been laden, every place where you've been dormant, every place where you've been lazy. You can get up. He says, now the land or the potential that I've given you has some boundaries. And if you stay in those boundaries and you do as I said, you'll gain the victory. But a lot of us never seek God about what the boundaries are. It means that if I'm not called to sing, please don't frustrate the rest of us. It means that I gotta stay in my gift. As long as I stay in my gift, the enemy has no hope. He says to them, now you take your feet. Now, you know, I was looking at this and it nearly blew me away because I was looking at Romans 12. And Romans 12 is one of those scriptures that it always speaks. Romans 12 and 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you make your body a present. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, Jesus, and acceptable unto God, which is just reasonable. That's where you start. But most people can't ever get past that. Some people will go up in the rapture still trying to control the flesh. stuck in pre-primer. I don't know what that is. It's preschool. It's K-4, not K-5. It's K-4. Stuck still trying to control this clay when he's giving you spirit. See, because as long as you can't control the clay, you'll stay in the purification mode. You know, saying the wrong thing and then having to repent. Oh, God, please forgive me. If you live there, you'll never allow your spirit to really grow and multiply. If you're just still trying to get your spirit right for Sunday morning because you fear that somebody may call you up and you're not ready, you missed it. Jesus. If I make my body a present, if I become living sacrifice. Now, you know, a living sacrifice had to be tied to the altar. Notice that God could not send Jesus as the substitutionary sacrifice for our sins until a man in the earth had done the same thing. His act of soul, Isaac, on the altar was a seed for the sending of Jesus. And a lot of times when God is asking you for something really hard, maybe God is saying you will sow the seed so that the earth could have something it has never had. Holy, acceptable, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world system. Wear it like a loose garment. I'm not to think like the world. No, you know, a lot of times we used to think that it meant how we be dressed. And yes, we should dress well, but it doesn't stop there. Because a lot of people would dress white, but they were mean as a hornet's nest. Be not conformed. Don't let this world, don't let it mold you into its shape. And God was telling Joshua, I'm sending you into a land where they don't know me. Don't you allow their gods to interfere with what I'm doing in you. Now you take your feet. You take your feet and you show the people how anointed feet operate. God was looking for some anointed feet. See, your feet are anointed. See, their feet were anointed like our hands are anointed. He said, take your feet and move your soul into where I'm taking you. You got to visit where God is taking you before it's time for you to go. We need a vision board. And I have a vision board of where I'm going. because my soul has to visit that place before I get there. He says, be not conformed. Don't let the world shape you. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove. Oh, wow. So that means that without a renewed mind, I can't prove the strategy that's in my spirit. Without a renewed mind, cannot prove the strategy that's in my spirit. Because one thing that we must understand is that everything that drops into our spirit is not necessarily of God. And that's why I hate for somebody to come up to me and say, well, you know, it dropped in my spirit. No, where did it come from? No, don't tell me no mess like that. I want to know where it did. Was it God? Because the devil is dropping some stuff too. Jesus. Oh, God. It means that I've got to have my mind renewed so that I become a master strategist. So I can walk through this minefield. So I can outwit the thief. So that I could become the seed of El Shaddai. So that I could walk in my covenant benefits. So that faith could work in me and produce a seed that's been laden for 20 years. I heard the Lord say that somebody in here, you prayed a prayer 20 years ago. And you're still waiting. He says, get up. Change your position. And go over Jordan. Put your feet in the place of the blessing. Even while somebody else's name is still on the title, you can ride by the house, ride by the property. You can do whatever it is you can do. You can claim it with your body. Because if he gave the earth to Abraham and his seed, our assignment is to claim earth. It's still the same assignment. Joshua's assignment is our assignment. We're not talking about Joshua. We're talking about us. I am the seed of Abraham. I am the son of El Shaddai. I am one of the most blessed persons in the earth. I receive the fullness of my inheritance. Satan, take your hands off my stuff. Take your hands off my family. Take your hands off my mind. And Father, I decree now that my words are powerful. Ministering spirits, I send you out now to harvest my blessing. Ministering spirits, I send you out now to bring me those things that God promised me. I decree in the name of Jesus that I will no longer be satisfied with less than the blessing. Let's stand. I won't be satisfied. I won't be satisfied. I won't be satisfied. Now, on this week, I challenge you to be the living sacrifice. Place your mind and your body on the altar and ask for divine instructions. Don't be satisfied with emotionalism. Say, God, I'm ready for a tangible blessing. In Jesus' name.